This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today it's another soundbite episode, guys, and I've got a question from me good old mate from all, Mr. Dave Foy. Dave, over to you.
Hiya, Pete. Got a question for you, mate. There are hundreds of things that any given business could be doing to market and grow the business. I don't know how many marketing channels, strategies, tactics, tools, and there are more of them cropping up all the time, but I know that focus and prioritizing is absolutely key to success. You try and do everything and nothing gets done, whereas focus on one thing and you can make enormous progress. But of course, focusing like this is easier said than done. So my question is, how do you decide what to focus on? You know, is there a process that you follow or some criteria that you work through? Okay, thanks, buddy. I'll catch you soon.
Hey, Dave, and thank you, mate, for such a great question. There's always so many different things that any agency owner or business owner needs to hold in their head, both from a business side of things and from a client perspective and delivery side of things, that, there's always a load of plates spinning. So let me just talk you through the process that I go through with all of the priorities in my business so that I can keep things swimming smoothly for everybody that's involved. And I do just want to make a note that actually there is a pressure, I suppose, the bigger your business gets, to do with the dependency of the success of your business. And this is really a key point as to why all of this stuff is so important. So one of the things we do, and I discussed this in the SEO course, and I think I may have mentioned it on the podcast before, but we sometimes do something called a dependency check. And that is when we take a look at all of the staff that work for a business and then add in all of the spouses and children and the pets and maybe extended family and build up a picture of what the company family looks like. And by doing that, you can then also see the number of people that are dependent upon the cash coming into a business and flowing out through salaries and invoices and that kind of thing to give these people a better life. You know, people work for you because, not for the good of their health, but because they want a better life for themselves, and they're on a trajectory to something, and you're supporting them in a way that is, A, from a sort of career perspective, but also very rarely from a financial perspective. So we need to make sure that we get these things right. So the first thing I do is go through a process of identifying the priorities and basically understanding all of the stuff that's on my desk, all of the stuff that I have to do, whether I want to or not, what the priorities are. And the four sort of key things to these are, I look at whether anything is business critical. So if the business is going to fall over because I don't do it, that jumps straight to the top of the list. I then identify things that are related to cash flow. So there's that old saying that cash flow is king. And I need to make sure that, you know, I'm not becoming a bottleneck, or that things that aren't dependent on me, that aren't stopping invoices going out and all that kind of stuff. So cash flow is number two. I then look at any business development opportunities and the tasks surrounding that. And that's basically because, you know I haven't talked yet about project management, which is actually the fourth one. But if I don't keep on making sure that stuff's going in the top of the funnel or the start of the process, then, you know, if there's holes of stuff going in the one end, then there's going to be holes coming out the other. So I need to make sure there's a constant, nice constant flow going through, going into the business at one end, so that I know that the invoices and cash is going to come out the other. So business development is number three. And then, as I've just said, project management is number four, making sure that all clients are happy, that we're delivering value, that we're over-delivering on our expectations to clients, and generally keeping things, you know, nice and so-and-so. So they're my four kind of gates, if you like, for priorities. Once I've done that, I can then, and grouped the tasks into those kind of four areas, I can then look at those sections in isolation and identify the quick wins within each each section so that I know that, you know, if this is only going to take me 5 minutes, but actually it's going to clear a whole load of stuff on cash flow, then actually that might be worth doing before anything that's business critical, because it's not going to take a lot of time and it's going to keep things running a lot more smoothly. So I look at what's going to take the least time but make the biggest impact. It's a bit like the 80-20 rule, I suppose. And I also look at if there's anything on the list that means that somebody else is dependent on me for something. So if there's something that I need to do that is holding somebody else back, then, you know, that's going to get a slightly higher priority as well, because I want to keep other people moving. Our organization is a bit like a gearbox. It's full of lots of cogs of different sizes, spinning at different speeds. And I don't want to become the spanner that goes into that. You know, I need to make sure that everything's moving smoothly. So if somebody else is dependent on me for something, then yeah, that can head straight to the top of the list too. I also identify things that are non-essential. So they're things that would be great if they did happen, but you know what? It's absolutely fine if they don't. They can bounce a day or 2 days or even a week if they have to. And it's not going to really make any difference. The caveat I'd put on that final point is that you also do need to know how many times things get bounced, because they're on the list for a reason. They do need to be done, yeah? So, you know, if something's on there that keeps on getting bounced and bounced and bounced and bounced and bounced, then you need to ask, well, maybe you're not the right person to do that task, or maybe it actually needs a bit more importance than you're really giving it. So before I get on to how I then plan that out into my weekly planner, I do just want to say something quick about handling email and client communications. So one thing that you do need to bear in mind is that if your inbox can be one of the biggest time vampires that you have, and it's also one of the things that is completely completely unpredictable. You're not in control of when a client is going to send you a horrible email that is going to take up the rest of your day. And you're not in control of when a client's going to pick up the phone and deliver some devastating news. What you are in control of, though, is when you check your email and when you answer the phone. And this took me ages to get used to, because working in some of the large agencies I've worked in, you know, it was always go, 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 go. We need to do this now. Yeah. Almost, you know, piling on of hands. Go, go, team. Woo. That kind of thing, nearly. But the point is that, you know, people wouldn't expect to wait for you to check your email. They'd expect that if they emailed you, you got the email. That's it. Their thing is done. They've pushed it off their desk onto yours, your responsibility. There's an element of truth in that. But on the same note, it's up to me when I check my email. You send it to me, I don't have to read it straight away. That's, and if it's that urgent, you're going to tell me another way. You know, if particularly for internal comms, we'll come on to internal comms in a minute because we do these slightly differently in our agency. But when I used to work in previous agencies, in these larger e-commerce agencies, I used to say to people, look, if it's that vital, you text me, because I'm going to see that on my phone. And it's far harder for me to ignore a text message than it is an email, because I'm only going to dive into my email two or three times a day. People used to hate it. So when do you check your emails and when do you answer the phone? Don't be afraid of not checking email, and don't be afraid of letting phone calls go to voicemail. That's what voicemail is for. And then you're in control of when you call somebody back. It's great, isn't it? The other thing that I wanted to mention is I have a process with email about do, delegate, or delete. So when I do get to my two times a day, when I actually check my email, every email goes through a decision. I either do it, so it's actioned and it's gone away. I delegate it, so it goes over to somebody else and it goes away. Or I delete it, so it goes away. Either way, I'm not wanting emails to particularly dwell in my inbox for particularly long. And that's because I don't want to be shackled to it. I know that if it's empty, I can get on with all the other stuff that I need to do. So yeah, so do, delegate, or delete. That's the mentality I go through with every email. And I tell you what, if you ask yourself that question within 5 seconds of opening an email, your gut reaction is 99.999% of the time the action that you will take with it. If you read something and think, oh, this is rubbish, I'm going to delete this, even if you then sit and read it for 3 minutes, you'll still delete it. So yeah, so only check your emails a couple of times a day and go through a do, delegate, or delete mentality. In order to do that, I've had to make sure that I use a better email platform. Now, I was using a system called Newton, which I absolutely loved, and it did cost $50 a year or something. It wasn't free like some of the other email services, but it had some functionality in it that really helped me. And that was things like scheduling the times that emails get sent. So just because I'm checking email twice a day doesn't mean that I'm not sending emails at other times, I suppose. But it's helpful for me to be able to send an email and then schedule it to go out in 2 or 3 hours, because we all work with people that go through exactly the same as we do. And if I send somebody an email and they then send it straight back to me, I've not actually got rid of it off my desk. So being able to schedule it so that it goes out, you know, 2 or 3 hours later, maybe the following morning, whatever it might be, is really handy. It also helps me snooze email, because that means that in my do, delegate, or delete, do might be I do need to do this, but I'm going to do it tomorrow, so then I can snooze the email and it'll pop back up tomorrow so I don't forget. So yeah, there was different things like that. Newton recently closed its doors. It's had a number of turbulent challenges as we in the past. So I'm now using the Spark email app, and I've got to say it's absolutely brilliant. I'm really loving it. So yeah, so that's the using the better platform. And the final thing is, because I don't check email all the time, I did have to set up another channel for internal communications. So we use Slack for our internal comms. And the reason we do that is because it's then a channel that is grouped into projects, and I can also have direct contact with staff through their private messaging, and it just gives us a space that is away from email, so that email is more client focused and Slack is then internally focused. So that's how I deal with email. I then every week have a planning process that I go through in order to schedule the work that I'm going to do each day. And the way that I do that is I have 2 ClickUp boards. I don't do calendar blocking, and I've spoken to lots of people that do calendar blocking, and that's absolutely fine. If you want to set up your calendar so that you've got literally no space in it whatsoever, and you know your calendar's telling you exactly what to do, that's fine. The reason I don't do it is because as I tried it, I felt like I was spending too much time simply managing my calendar. If you need to shift something in a calendar, it's not always the easiest thing to do. So instead, I use ClickUp boards. You could use Trello boards, because I use it in the Kanban sort of board view, so Trello would work in exactly the same way. But I have 2 boards. So the first board is I have a workflow board, and that shows all of the leads and projects that are going through my agency at any one time. So basically it's a Kanban board, as I said, so lots of columns next to each other. Every project becomes a card. On that card, it includes all the financial information, and it's flagged as to whether it's a project or a retainer. And then we also have a traffic light system for the satisfaction level of the client. So we try and keep them all on green for good. But we do have an amber for if a client needs attention, or red if a client really isn't happy. And we are going to have to put a lot of effort in. We don't run on reds ever. It's there, but we don't ever do it. We just keep it to ourselves. So yeah, so we have very easily to look at this board, so that we can see where the money is, where the client statuses are, whether it's retained work or project work. And yeah, we just have an overview. And the columns that run through that Kanban board are business development opportunities, right in the very far left. So literally, as opportunities are coming on my horizon, they become a card on the board in the workflow to acknowledge that they need action. We then have a quotes column, so if something goes on quote, it then gets moved over to quotes. We can put in a copy of the quote, we can make some notes, and also I then update it with the financial information and whether it's going to be a retained or a project type client. We then have a column for projects that are confirmed, a column for projects that are in progress, a column for projects that are with clients. We then have a completed column, so obviously when a project is completed, it goes into there. We have a separate column for retained clients, so that this is basically to help me have the finances all on one page, so they don't really move all that much because the work moves around them and they have projects set up in ClickUp to manage the actual tasks. This is just for financial overview. And I should say that this board is locked. The only 2 people in my organization that can see this board are me and my business partner, Steve. And then the final column in this board is a column for on hold. We all have projects that sometimes just don't work out on the same schedule as they were intended. So this just lets me put it on hold. And I know that there's then, if there's any finances that I was expecting that are going to be slightly delayed for whatever reason, and where they are. So that's the workflow board. And then the final board I have, which is completely locked down to me, I'm the only person that can see it, is my weekly planner. And in there, I have a priorities column. Now, I must admit, those priorities, they're like my personal priorities, so they're not necessarily business critical. I then have columns from Monday to Friday. I have a completed column, and I have a column that's with somebody else. And that with someone else column is kind of just there as a dumping ground, so that if I was working on something or I am dependent on somebody else for completing something, I've got somewhere to chuck it, and it gets out of the way. And the way I use this board is every Friday. Now, the key thing is for Friday. On Friday, I plan out my next week. And when I come in on Monday morning, I'm then not messing about trying to figure out what this week looks like. I can hit the ground running. So I do this on a Friday afternoon task. And that can be one of my tasks on a Friday is sort out next week. So I look at my list for the following week. I have my column of priorities. I understand whether they're business critical or whether they're to do with cash flow or business development or project management. I understand where all of the money is within my business by looking at the workflow. And then I can map out, right, so this needs to happen on Monday. These are the tasks for Tuesday. These are the tasks for Wednesday. These are the tasks for Thursday. These are the tasks for Friday. And if there's a bit of freedom in there, that's absolutely great. Because you know what? If somebody doesn't answer the phone on Monday and one of the Monday tasks get pushed till Tuesday, that's absolutely fine. There's no problem with that. But at least I know what it is that I have to complete each week. And when something gets completed, you know what? I whack it in the complete column. And being able to see the 25 or 30 tasks or more sometimes that I complete each week really does give me a buzz. So things like producing this podcast. That is one of the things that was on my list for today. And you know what? As soon as I'm finished with this, I'm going to go and give that a big old tick and knock it into the complete column. So, mate, I realize I've now spoken for 16 minutes about this, and I hope that answers your question. If anybody has any queries, please feel free to jump into the Marketing Development Podcast group at Marketing Development Podcast on Facebook, or just go to peteverett.com/group and it'll send you straight on in there. And let's have a discussion about how you manage your priorities and how they work out for you. And if you've got any questions, feel free to hit me up in the group. See you next week.